appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. If you would turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. I'm going to jump around a little, but reading in verse 3. And everybody knows this is speaking of Christ. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Verse 10. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. I know we know this. I've read it so many times, but there's a lot in here. The more I started looking at some of these words, and the word I want to look at couple tonight is grief. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Grief means to be rubbed, rubbing or a wearing. And, we could liken it to a tool. If you work with a shovel and you hadn't done it and you work all day, it'll wear on your hands. Okay? And so, Christ, he was, while he was on earth, being worn on. And that's that grief. And I, from experience, honestly, I can't talk about a lot of grief in my life. I haven't had a lot of grief. We never know when that stuff happens to us. But I'm looking at Christ now, and he experienced it daily. It also has the aspect of grief means sickness and affliction and disease. And our one brother prayed about this type of things. We all have them. We know people who have them. Christ was surrounded during his days on earth with these type of people, sick people, diseased people, afflicted people, lame people. He surrounded himself with these and he healed them. Incredibly, he healed them. But the deeper purpose of Christ was he understood our heart sickness, our true sickness of sin, and the spiritual need. And that is ultimately was his purpose in coming, that he would heal us of that, and that was the biggest part of his grief that he had, as he considered that all his days. I can't think of the verse now, but he thought of that hour that was coming to him, and he was grieved as he knew what was upon him when he would endure the wrath of God on him for us. So he was grieved. and acquainted with grief. You know, grief affects us. You know, I've had a little grief, but not a lot in my 40-some years. But, you know, it affects you, and it affected Christ. And so as I was thinking of Him and this, mainly to focus on Him, but surely there's application for us. And, you know, the grief will wear on us, but physically we can get calluses, and that's good. God made us that way. But God knows mentally, you know, spiritually, we can't deal with grief. You know, we're not to be calloused in heart. Calloused on the inside is a bad thing. And so we look to Christ. How did He deal with grief? And we always see Him going to the Father as our as an example to us as men. He who was God, he went to His Father, His Heavenly Father, with His grief. And I think of a few times. The one standing out now is to me when John the Baptist was killed. It don't say any, the word grief's not used, but it says he withdrew to a place by himself. You know, he went away from his ministry, from even his disciples, and he did that regularly, and it was to pray. And so he brought that to the Father, which is a picture for us as His children, to bring our griefs and all these things that rub us to Him, you know, that wear us. And this is talking about being put to pain, mind and body. That's what grief is. You know, if we go down to the next verse, it says, "Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried." And that, to me, is just incredible that, you know, there's nothing in this life that I'll ever go through that He didn't know about and take care of, already bore it for me. So really, not that we don't experience that grief, but we can pass it on to Him knowing that, you know, He really took our grief. He took what would have been our eternal grief, okay, in hell. He took that on Himself on the cross. So He, and if we go on, and I'm going to skip some of these other verses that I read, but in verse 10 it says, "The Lord was pleased to crush Him, putting Him to grief." Okay? And to be put to grief means to be severely wounded, weak or sick. So I think of the Father, and I don't claim to really understand this, but just what little I do, the Father put Him to grief on that cross, okay? If you think about the hours before the cross in Gethsemane, when He, it says, became distressed and greatly grieved, and He fell down, and He wept, which is an outward sign of grief. He's crying, and He cried out to His Father, you know, "Not my will, but thine be done." He was grieving there over what was to come on the cross. And it says here too, and this is another word I want to look at, is crush. And that means to beat to pieces and to break or bruise, you know. That's a deep meaning word, to beat to pieces and to break and bruise. I had a good friend, and his parents, they kept like a list on the wall there of all the rules. If you did this, it's one lick or spanking. If you did this, it's two. My parents never had that, which I'm glad. But somehow, and I don't know what, I know how I try to discipline my children, but somehow my parents knew how much they were going to do for whatever. I didn't always know the number, but I knew if you jumped and it missed, it didn't count. So you tried to be still. But what I'm getting at, if I can think of that in human terms with my father, think about that in terms of God, who not with decisive precision administering, not punishment because Christ deserved any, but for my sin, everyone, and so he bore it. He was crushed, literally, spiritually, physically, all the way to being forsaken by his father. And that, we can't comprehend. The best closest I can come to it, if a judge has a son and that son murdered somebody, that judge will have to deal with his son according to law. When he's dealing with him according to law, he's not his son, even though he's still his son. But if he dealt with him as a son, he would pervert the law, change the law, weaken the law to take care of his son. God did not do that. He dealt every blow perfectly, the law required for every sin of mine and of yours. And that's powerful right there, that he did that and endured that for us. If there's any question here to as far as that crushing and what was dealt on him, you see here in verse 11, it clears it up that it is exactly what it says. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it. That's God the Father. He will see it and be satisfied. As a result of the anguish of his, that's Jesus, as a result of the anguish of the Son's soul, that's Jesus, God will see it and be satisfied. So as he dealt the wrath on him of my sin, he saw when it was enough, and he stopped, and he was satisfied. And so we can go through life as believers thankful and rejoicing in the fact that I'll never see one bit of condemnation for my sin on me, because God is satisfied. Christ is the propitiation, satisfactory payment. So I'll never receive the wrath of God, because it's already been dealt on Christ. And God satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Oh, anguish, by the way, is toil or labor. It's misery. And it's, again, that wearing effort of body and mind. And that's what Christ endured for us. He was wore down, not just by men. We see the outward. You know, you watch the Passion. I mean, I can't believe that. I mean, I can believe it. I can't understand that point of suffering physically. But what we don't see is what spiritually the Isaiah opens up to us. What God really dealt on him was our sin. Just a couple thoughts for application for us as far as grief goes. You know, we're to be a joyful people, but if we look at Christ and we're to be the example here on earth because He's not here bodily. But how did He grieve? You know, how did He... We see grief everywhere today. I mean, you read that, the statistics. I mean, people committing suicide, going to alcohol, going to drugs, going to divorce, and immoral relationships because the world don't know how to deal with grief that they get on the earth. But we do, having Christ and having our great high priest. So, you know, we're to minister. We're to help these people. You know, we're to be Christ to them. You know, what He dealt with in Gethsemane, we can't even really enter into it or on the cross because that was God dealing with God for humanity's sake. But if you think about it and would break that down, He was grieving over sin, okay? That's what was bringing Him to grief and the sin He was going to bear. So as a believer, I should grieve over my sin that I don't do it, and that if I do do it, it bothers me, and that I confess it and get it right. Okay, so I should grieve over sin. What else did He grieve for? It says literally He grieved at the Pharisees, at the hardness of their heart. When He was going to heal the man's hand, withered hand, and they were debating should He do it on the Sabbath or not, and they were so hard-hearted, you know. Hard-heartedness, to me, is unbelief, I believe, is what it speaks of. If that should grieve my heart. If I see a person that's hard-hearted to the gospel, they're going to hell. That should grieve me like nothing else because there's no rescue for them. If they continue to reject the gospel, they will go to hell, okay? If they reject the offer of free life in Christ, forgiveness of sins, if they're that hard-hearted, they will go to hell. I should grieve over that person and be heavy and pray for them. Okay? Another thing, and this is the last one I'll close with, Jesus grieved over the loss of those near to Him. And the one there I'm thinking of is Lazarus. That's kind of almost a natural thing. My friends, my family, you know, if they grieve, I'm going to grieve with them. If, you know, but then in a deeper sense, He grieved over His people who He cared for. And the thought of that, I'll just read it real quick, is in Luke here. It says, in 19, when He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, and this is not the word grieved used, but it's the outward showing of grief. He wept. When He approached it, He wept and saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come to you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you, and I'll stop there. But so He looked in the future days and He saw, because of their rejection of Him, Israel, His people, the chosen people of God, He saw what they would suffer, and He grieved over that. Okay? How do I relate that to today? We as believers are to grieve for the people of God. And this is really what brought me to this whole, what I've tried to do tonight, is I've been reading Voices of the Martyrs. I mean, we don't have a clue in America what the church worldwide experiences in suffering. And so that should be our desire and our drive as believers to enter into that with them. And how we do that is only by the Spirit of God. And I can't really explain it. It's prayer. It has to be prayer, but a deep feeling of I mean, not just God pray for Syria. I mean, he cares about the nation, but not really. He cares about the people in it. God pray for these saints over there. This woman who don't have a husband because he gave the gospel. Or this parents who lost their kids. You know what I'm saying? A deep understanding. Pray with insight for the people of God. And I'll close with this. If you ever want to do some good reading, the Pilgrim Church, it'll be make you thankful for where you come from and what we have now as believers. I read this book. It's really the history. Well done. And these saints suffered for Christ and for what they believed. Let's pray. Father, tonight we are thankful for the grace. We sing with a song, O the height and depth of mercy, O the length and breadth of love, O the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Father, we thank you for the salvation we have in Christ. Father, we thank you for our meeting here for the body of Christ. Father, we pray for the saints that suffer so much in other places, Lord, all around us. May we pray, Lord, and help them through prayer. Suffer with them, enter into it with them. In Jesus' name, amen.